We are nearing the end of our series in the book of James. Next week will be our last week in this study. So this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, you can open up to James chapter 5. That's where we will be today. While you're turning there, let me remind us about this book of James. If you have not been with us, this book that we have been studying for 9 weeks now is actually written by James, who was the younger brother of Jesus. After seeing his brother Jesus be executed on a cross, be buried in a tomb, and then 3 days later come back to life, just like Jesus said he was going to, James became a follower of Jesus. He became a believer in Jesus. He put his faith in Jesus, and then James's life changed. James ended up becoming one of the main leaders of all of the followers of Jesus in the early church. And as a leader and a pastor, James wrote this little book to all the followers of Jesus. And the main theme of this book that we've been looking at every week is this: faith changes you. When we put our faith in Jesus and what Jesus did for us on the cross, we are forgiven of our sins. And the Bible says in that moment we are changed from death to life. But James says those changes don't stop there. James says that our faith changes us even still. James says when we apply our faith to all the different parts of our life, then we should see changes in all of those areas as well. Our faith should change the way that we think. It should change the way that we talk. It should even change the way that we act. We see this in James chapter 2, this verse that we have been looking at every single week. James says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." James says that faith changes you. And those changes begin to show themselves in the faithful works and actions of our lives. And if there are no faithful works, and if there are no faithful actions in our lives, then James would ask us, are you actively applying your faith to all the different parts of your life? Because according to James, faith without works is dead. So all throughout this book, every single week that we've opened it up, James has been showing us the kind of changes that can happen in our lives when we apply our faith to all the different parts of our lives. And so this morning is not going to be any different. James is going to have us take a look at chapter 5, and he wants to see another area of our life that can change when we apply our faith to that area. So if you open up your Bibles, James chapter 5, in the second paragraph of chapter 5, James writes this. He says, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord." Well, I guess this one doesn't apply to us either, right? Because I don't know about you, but I am totally patient. Just the other day, I was at the store, and I got in the 12 items or less line, and there was a guy in front of me who had 25 items. No big deal. Doesn't bother me. You go right ahead, sir. I'm sure you have a really good reason why that rule does not apply to you. Last weekend, I was going downtown, and I forgot that the tunnels were closed. No big deal. The city of Pittsburgh is totally easy to navigate under construction. I got my cable bill in the mail this week, and it just so happened to be $60 more than it normally is. No big deal. I called him up. That guy must have forgot to tell me when he sold me the cable that it was a promotional price and my bill would skyrocket after 6 months. None of this stuff bothers me at all. Because I am patient. You know what patience is? Here is the dictionary definition of patience. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Do you have this? Patience? Now, the actual Greek word patience that James uses here in chapter 5, it's a compound word. It's made up of two other words, the word long and the word anger. And the word anger that he uses refers to that emotional explosion of anger, the kind where you reach your tipping point and then everything just comes out and you lash out at everybody around you. Do you know what that kind of anger is? When we find people that get mad easily, we say that they have a short fuse. So what patience is having a long fuse. Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay and trouble and suffering without lashing out, without blowing up, without losing and letting it all out. And the chances are every single one of us could probably use a little bit longer patience fuse. Am I right? When I look at this definition and I look at my own life, it is pretty clear that my fuse is short when it comes to things like delay, getting stuck in traffic, having to wait for just about anything. My capacity for delay is very short. I'm impatient, and then I lash out. But what we see here is that in comparison to the rest of this definition, delay is like the kiddie pool of patience. Delay is like the easy stuff. We should be able to handle and have patience for delay. But what about this other stuff, like trouble and suffering? If we get impatient and we start to lash out when the internet is too slow, what do you think is going to happen when stuff gets difficult, when trouble comes, when suffering enters our life? Do you think in those moments, is our patience fuse going to be longer or shorter then? Because if I'm honest, I am impatient. I have a short fuse. I have a small tolerance for delay. But James is saying that when it comes to delay and trouble and even suffering, how long should my patience fuse be? Here's what he says. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. Well, I sure don't have that kind of patience. Do you? I think this morning, James wants us to apply our faith to our life and grow in some patience, even in the hard parts of life. And if we're going to grow in our patience, then I think James wants us to learn a little bit about our impatience. So James gives us this illustration in the rest of verse 7. He says, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains." Now, when I first read this illustration, it doesn't do a whole lot for me because I am not a farmer. But the people that James is writing to, they understood the point that James is making here. You see, in the area of the world where James is writing, the people there know that farming is a little tricky. Because of the climate of this part of the world, the ground was hard and dry and dusty. But every year, at the beginning of planting season, there would come these early rains. And when the early rains came, it brought enough water to the ground to soften it so they can dig in there and plant the crops. And it kept enough water in the ground for those plants to take root and start growing right away. But the thing is, if you tried to plant your crops before the early rains came, then the roots wouldn't take. And the plants would get scorched and your whole crop would be lost. So common sense would tell you, just wait for the rains, right? Don't plant your crops until the early rains come. Simple as that. If you've seen how accurately we predict the weather with all of our technology, imagine what weather prediction must have been like back then without the technology. Now imagine that you, like a farmer, your entire livelihood was based on this year's crops. People are depending on you. This year has to be a good year. You have a quota to meet. If the crop doesn't go well this year, then you and your entire family are in trouble. So what do? You get your seeds ready. You get all your tools sharpened. You get all of your plans in place, and everything is ready. All you do is wait. Wait for the early rains to come. Well, what if the rains don't come as early this year as they did last year? What then? What if the rains don't come when you were expecting them to come? What do? Time's running out. Everything's in place. We're just waiting on this one thing. We're just waiting for the rains to come. What happens then? I'll tell you what happens then. We start to get impatient. Maybe there are some early rains that you were waiting for in your life. Maybe you're waiting for that job promotion. You put in the work, it's overdue, you're just waiting for that job promotion to come. That's the early rains that you're waiting for. Maybe for you, the early rains that you're waiting for is a relationship. You're waiting around for Mr. or Mrs. Wright to come along. Maybe the early rains are you're waiting for is just for stuff to turn around in your life. Maybe you've had a rough year and you just want something good to happen. You just want to catch a break and that's what you are waiting for. Maybe for you, the early rains that you are waiting for is a job offer or some test results or that phone call. And maybe we can relate to these farmers. Maybe we do know what it's like to wait. But I don't know about you, but the longer that I wait, the more impatient that I get. Isn't that right? I don't know if you've ever done this, but whenever I get impatient, do you know what I do? I try to take matters into my own hands. Earlier this summer, I was going to stain my deck. And the directions on the stain says that you need 72 hours of dry sunny days for the stain to work properly. So I checked the forecast, and it said that there was a 40% chance of rain the next day, and then the 3 days after that were going to be dry and sunny. So common sense would say, wait for the good weather, Dusty. But I don't want to wait for the good weather. I bought the stain today. I made plans to stain the deck this weekend. And besides, yesterday they said it was a 60% chance of rain. It didn't rain at all. Today is only a 40% chance of rain, and it looks great outside, so I'm doing this. So I did it. I spent 5 hours staining that deck. And as soon as I was done, as soon as I cleaned everything up and went in the house, boom, it rained. And the rain washed all of the stain off of the deck, into the grass, all over the sidewalks. And so not only did I have to spend 5 more hours restaining the deck, I had to spend 2 extra hours cleaning up the mess from the first attempt. All because I got impatient and tried to take things into my own hands. Do you ever do stuff like that? Get impatient, take matters into your own hands? James says, look at the farmer. How he is patiently waiting for the early rains to come. If a farmer tried to plant his crop before the early rains came, he would lose the entire crop. But if a farmer waited for the early rains to come, got the crops in the ground and they started growing successfully, he had to wait again. Around the harvest time, at the end of the cycle, the late rains would come. And these late rains, they would come in and they would bring the crop to its full maturity. In some cases, these later rains would grow the crop 4 times as much in the last few weeks before harvest. But if a farmer got impatient and started the harvest before these late rains come, he would only harvest a fraction of what he could have had he waited. So the impatient farmer who couldn't wait, who needed to start the harvest now, didn't wait for the late rains to come. He had something to show for all of his work. But it could have been a whole lot more had he been patient enough to wait for the late rains. Now, how many of us could tell a story of how our own impatience ended up costing us something? How many of us could tell stories about how we took matters into our own hands and now we regret it? You don't hear a whole lot of stories where people say, you know what, things were going really bad until I got impatient. And I act irrationally, and I lashed out, and things got better. Nobody ever has a story like that. I think James is showing us that if we are going to grow in patience, then we need to apply our faith to our impatience and learn that one of the reflexes that you and I do when we get impatient is that we try to take things into our own hands. Isn't that true? Don't we do that? Now, James says we need to be patient like the farmers. Now, how do you think these farmers learned patience like this? I bet a part of it was from observing the impatient moments of the past. How many crops did they have to lose before they finally learned, hey, maybe we should wait for the rains to come, right? You know, how many mistakes did they have to make when they took matters into their own hands before they finally learned, hey, this isn't working out, maybe I should wait for the rains to come? I bet it wasn't always easy for these farmers to be patient. I bet there were some seasons where these farmers, they took a look and it was pretty grim, where the circumstances got a lot more difficult, where the stakes were higher and things weren't going according to plan. I bet there were some seasons for these farmers where they felt all of the pressure, where they started to get really impatient And those doubts started to creep in. Hey, I don't think it's coming. I don't think it's coming. We can't just stand here. We got to do something. We can't just let him. We got to do something now, right? I don't know about you, but the harder the circumstances get in my life, the less patience I have for dealing with them. When things go badly in my life, my immediate reaction is not, I just need to be patient. No, that's not what I do. When things get badly in my life, my first reaction is, I need to get out of this immediately. This needs to stop right now. Things need to change quickly. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we operate? The harder the circumstances get, the less patience we have to handle them. It's also true that as the circumstances in our lives escalate, so do the consequences of our impatience. As the circumstances in our lives escalate, so do the consequences of our impatience. If I lose my cool while I'm waiting in line at the post office, that's not a huge deal. In the big picture, that is not going to impact the rest of my life very much. I'll just tell myself, be more patient next time. But what about the hard stuff in life? What about those circumstances that come into your life that completely knock you off of your feet? What about those situations in your life that leave you wondering, how am I ever going to get through this? Have you ever faced those kinds of circumstances in your life? Telling yourself to just be patient doesn't really work well in those circumstances, does it? In those circumstances, we need something more than a pep talk about patience. Tim Keller wrote a book about pain and suffering, and he describes patience in the hardest part of life like this. Patience is the ability to withstand difficulty without giving up or giving in to bitterness. When the circumstances in your life get really, really hard and the stakes get higher and higher, impatience doesn't just cause us to lose our cool and to lash out every now and again. In the really hard parts of life, impatience can cause us to respond in ways that are far more severe and desperate. Have you ever had something come into your life that was so difficult that your immediate reaction was, I want this to stop right now. I don't have any patience for any more of this. Have you been there? In those moments, impatience causes us to try to take matters into our own hands. And when we come to find we can't do anything about our situation, you know what impatience does? Impatience starts to tempt us to think, if I can't get out, then maybe I should just give up. Have you ever been in a circumstance so difficult that you begin to hear those voices telling you, nothing's going to change, this can never get fixed, you should just give up? Have you ever been there? You ever heard those doubts before? Or maybe in your situation, giving up is not an option, so impatience tempts you to give in to bitterness. You become bitter about your life because it's not working out the way that you thought it would. You become bitter with other people because you don't think it's fair that things work out for them and they're not working out for you. And then you can get bitter with God because you think, God, you could have done something about all of this, and you didn't. Have you ever been through some difficult circumstances in your life that have tempted you to give in to being bitter about everything that's gone wrong in your life? This is what impatience can look like in your life and mine in the hard parts of life. Now, I bet you these farmers, I bet you they felt all of this stuff too. The rains aren't coming. This is never going to work out. We should just go ahead and do something. We should just harvest. We should just quit. We should just give up. God, where are you? Don't you see this? You're going to let this happen? You're going to do something about this? But James says that these farmers, even when they felt the pressure, even when the doubts were creeping in, even when the circumstances escalated and the stakes were getting higher and higher, even when they're tempted to give up and to give in to bitterness, these farmers, they learned to be patient even in those moments. How did they do it? In the next verse, James says, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, I want you to notice here in this verse that James doesn't just command us to be patient, But he also gives us some instruction on how we are to do it. Notice he says, establish your hearts. This word establish means to strengthen, to be fixed, to be firm and secure. James says, if we're going to grow in patience, even in the difficult parts of our life, then we need to apply our faith to these hard circumstances and establish our heart. Do you see that in here? Establish our heart. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, what does this look like? There was a movie that came out in the mid-90s called Twister. Did you see this movie? It was about a giant tornado and these storm chasers that followed it. And at the end of the movie, the two main characters, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt, they come face to face with the biggest tornado that they have ever seen in their lives. And they come to find that there's nowhere they can run. There's nowhere they can hide. The storm is coming right at them. So what do? They go into a barn. And in that barn, they found this sturdy-looking water pipe coming out of the ground. And Bill Paxton looks at Helen Hunt and says, these pipes go 30 feet underground at least. So they grab these leather straps and they strapped themselves to this sturdy pipe and they waited for the storm to come. And sure enough, the storm comes through. It devastates everything its path. It takes the barn away. But laying there on the ground is Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt strapped to a sturdy pipe coming out of the ground. They survived the storm because they secured themselves to something immovable. Now, I don't know if this is the best way to get through a tornado, but James is telling us that the best way to get through the storms that come into your life, into mine, is to secure ourselves to something immovable. James doesn't say just to be patient. He says be patient, establish your hearts. You know what establishing your heart is? Establishing your heart is when that storm comes in, that circumstance comes into your life, and you know that this thing is going to destroy everything around you. It's going to turn your life completely upside down. And in the middle of this thing, impatience is telling you, you need to do something. You need to take matters into your own hands. You need to stop this. Impatience tells you, once you can't stop it, it tells you, we just need to give up. We can't take anymore. Just quit. Impatience tells you that, hey, if we can't give up, then we should just get mad and get bitter. Why is this happening to us? But James says, no. When you're in the middle of that storm, when you're in the middle of that circumstances, you be patient and you establish yourself. James says, here's what you do. You get out those leather straps and you secure yourself to the one thing that this storm cannot move, God. Because even though this storm might wreak havoc on every single part of your life, even though things might never be the same again, if you are securely established in Him, you will survive the storm because our God cannot be moved. You believe that? So how do people like you and I grow in patience even in the most difficult parts of our lives? James says, here's how you do it. You establish your hearts in God. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something about seeing this work in the lives of other people that gives me more confidence that this will work in my life, in my storms. And James, I think he understands that because he ends this paragraph by giving us some examples of some people who've applied this to their storms. One of the most powerful examples, at least for me, is the life of Job. In verse 10, James says, as an example of suffering and patience, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Now, if you think you've got some stuff going on in your life, you should read Job. Job is like the king of difficult circumstances. Job literally lost everything. His possessions, his family, his health. The stuff that Job was up against was almost unimaginable, yet Scripture says, through it all, Job remained steadfast. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. Don't get him wrong. Read the book of Job, and what you'll find is that there were some really dark times for Job. There were a lot of tears and pain for Job. There were a lot of questions, and Job felt every single pressure that impatience brings. Job literally had friends in his life that were telling him, you should just quit. Job felt all of the temptation to get bitter and angry at everybody, including God, for everything that was happening to him. But Job was a man who established his heart on God. And here is how Job records the reaction to the overwhelming circumstances and loss that he suffered. Job chapter 1 says, "Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell on the ground and worshiped." He worshiped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And then it says, in all of this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. This is the reaction of a man who has established his heart in God, even in the hardest parts of life. Maybe this morning, you are right in the middle of it. You got all this stuff going on in your life, and you are being pushed to your threshold of patience, and you're feeling every temptation that impatience brings. Try to take things into your own hands, tempting you to just give up, tempting you just to give in and be bitter about everything that is going wrong in your life. This morning, James is telling us that we need to apply our faith to that circumstance, to that storm in your life. And he says what will happen is God will grow in you the patience that you need to get through this. There is a line at the end of the book of Job that I cling to in the middle of the storms in my life. At the very end of the book of Job, it simply says this: "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part." Do you think Job ever thought that this was possible in the stormiest days of his life? Probably not. Just like you and I probably don't think in the middle of the storm that we're in that it's ever going to get any better, right? Things can ever go back to the way they were. I'm never going to be the same again. But here it is, right? Do you see it? I see it. It's right here. So what James is telling us to do is he's saying, here's what you do. Establish your heart. Get out those leather straps and secure yourself to the immovable God, knowing that this storm is going to be rough and it's going to get painful and things are going to get tossed around and things won't look the same on the other end. But as long as you are established in Him, secured to an immovable God, you will get through this. And here's what we see at the end of it. We serve a God who can bless the latter part more than the former part. Good news, isn't it? Yeah. Let me leave us with these words to establish our hearts from the book of Psalms. It says, "For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries." Do you believe that? This is what we cling to. This is what we establish our hearts in. Will you stand? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you are an immovable God. We thank you that you care about all the circumstances of our life and you know them intimately. You know that there are things that are happening to us and around us that is throwing everything in our life in chaos, but you will not be moved. And God, I pray this morning that we would learn to establish our hearts in you, that even though we don't know what this storm is going to bring, even though we don't know what the other side is going to look like, we trust that you cannot be moved in this. So we secure ourselves in you, knowing that you are a good God, that you bring good things out of the worst circumstances. God, we know that to be true because we've seen it. Jesus died and was crushed by his enemies, but that didn't stop him. 3 days later, he came back to life and brought us victory over sin and death. These are the things that you can do. Hallelujah. God, we read in your scriptures that Jesus calms the storm. They obey his very commands. God, we bring you our storms, and we cling to you in the middle of those, knowing that you are the God who is in control of everything, who will not be moved, even in the stormiest circumstances of our lives. God, I pray that today we would be firmly established in you. Even when we don't have answers, even when we don't know the outcome, even when we are afraid and we are anxious, even when we have all of those things in us telling us to do completely opposite things, we will take James' advice and apply our faith to these circumstances and establish ourselves in you, knowing that you are a God who will bring patience and will bring understanding and wisdom, even in the hardest parts of life. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.